for this edition of Making Contact. Special thanks to KPFA for hosting and recording this conversation featuring Patrice Cullors. If you're still trying to wrap your head around the idea of the United States government criminalizing activism, visit our website at radioproject.org. Subscribe to our podcast or follow us on Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. This show was produced by Anita Johnson. Lisa Rudman is our executive director. Producers are Marie Chet, Monica Lopez, and RJ Lozada. Audience engagement director, Sabine Blodson. Development associate, Vera Tykolsker. And I'm Anita Johnson. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM. Next up is Transpositive.
Did you know that almost a quarter of Oregon's children are food insecure? That means they don't have access to affordable, nutritious food. Join me for episode 2 of Local Folks Podcast and experience Distribution Day, the time when hard-working gleaners, compassionate, low-income local folks, share the food they have gathered with households in need. You can find Local Folks at kboo.fm, go to audio, list of programs, podcasts, web only, and click on Local Folks.
Tune in on Thursday, August 31st at 8 p.m. to celebrate the queer programmers and the queer community of KBOO as part of our 50th anniversary. Emma Lugo of Transpositive will host this special on-air program. You can join us that night at the Queer Community Open House here at KBOO at 20 Southeast Avenue from 7 to 10 p.m. on August 31st. More information about the Queer Community Open House and anniversary programming is available at kboo.fm.
Good evening and welcome to Transpositive. We are here tonight with Jen Burlton and Oliver and Sam, as well as all of our lovely co-hosts, Nicolette and Gwen. We're all here tonight. We're going to be talking about trans youth, and we're going to mostly be letting trans youth talk about themselves as much as they want to, with the help of Jen Burlton from Transactive. So let's all first go around and introduce ourselves. And if you could please say your first name and then your preferred pronoun. We'll start over here with Nicolette and we'll go around the table.
Hi, I'm Nicolette. I prefer A&M pronouns. Is this on?
Go ahead, Sam.
Hi, I'm Sam and I prefer he, him pronouns.
I'm Jen and I prefer she, her pronouns.
I think my headphones are working.
I'm Oliver, and I prefer he, him pronouns.
I am Emma, and I use she and her pronouns.
And I'm Gwen. I use she and her pronouns.
And so we're going to be talking tonight with some trans youth from Transactive, Transgender Youth Development Center. So I think, and we also got trans news first. I'm so sorry. I forgot. We've started a new segment. It's Trans in the News. And Gwen is our lovely reporter, researcher, editor, and producer. So Jen, Gwen, why don't you do Trans in the News, and then we'll get to the trans youth.
All right. Sounds good. So I kept it short because we have some young people we want to hear from. So our first one is Nicole Maines has been cast as the character Nia Nal in Supergirl. This is a big deal. She is transgender. She was an actress in the Royal Pain show. And the character is transgender. So we have our first superhero on TV, which I think is great. And then we have a person by the name of Christine Hallquist, who has a great chance of becoming the next governor of Vermont. So that would be a first in the United States to have a governor as a transgender person as a governor. She would also, if she wins, it'll be the first time an incumbent governor in Vermont has been defeated since 1962. So, everything else in the news wasn't very exciting, so we'll just skip over that. And our transgender person of the month is Jenny June. She was born in 1874, assigned male. She was born in Connecticut to a very Puritan family. As a child, she wanted to be called Jenny and was sent to an all-boys school where she had a pretty hard time of it. She did, long about 1918, publish her autobiography of an androgyn. That was her label then in the early 1900s. Her goal was to make her trials well-known and to rally the support of Americans to create an accepting environment for young adults who do not necessarily adhere to gender and sexual norms. Her autobiographies are available at outhistory.org. And there we have it.
Great. Thank you so much, Gwen. So why don't we take our first break just for about 30 seconds, and then we will be back with Sam, Oliver, and Jen from Transactive. All right, and we are back. So welcome, Oliver, Sam, and Jen. Welcome to Transpositive.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So let's start with you, Sam. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How old are you?
I'm 12.
Oh, great. And what grade are you in?
Eighth.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. And are you involved down at Transactive?
Sometimes, yeah. Uh-huh. I try to make it. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. What do you do there?
We talk about, like, sometimes trans issues and, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We generally talk about whatever comes up. Mm-hmm. So whatever the youth bring on a particular day, sometimes I or whoever else is facilitating their group brings up something that's happening in the news or just tries to push their buttons in just the right way to get conversation going.
Yeah. And Oliver, what about you? Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm 14 going into my freshman year at THS.
Oh, exciting.
And going along with what Jen said, yeah, at Transactive, we just kind of talk about whatever's up. Sometimes it's very trans-oriented, sometimes it's not. And so there's a lot of days where it's really silly, and there's a lot of days where it's more serious, and it just depends on the energy there.
Mm, nice. Mm-hmm.
Jen, can you tell us, let's start with talking about Transactive first. Tell us, what is Transactive for those who don't know? How did it get started, and what does it do?
Well, Transactive Gender Center was one of the very first, if not the first, national grassroots organizations focusing specifically on working to better the lives of trans, gender queer, gender fluid, gender nonconforming, gender fabulous, gender non-binary, all of the gender variations of youth, starting with very, very young children. Most other activities that were going on at the time Transactive was started is we were just beginning to have more and more conversations about gay youth. And when we were talking about youth, we were obviously talking only about teens. So Transactive really wanted to shift the conversation to focusing specifically on how diverse gender identity is developed and treated, and how it should be nurtured in this country. And now we're about 11 years down the line, And among the many different things that Transactive does is we are probably the leading provider of training regionally on specifically on gender diversity issues as they impact children and youth. That includes in schools, within their families, within interactions with healthcare providers and government actions. We pretty much do everything the full spectrum. If it impacts the lives of these youth, we're engaged in that. And then we also provide direct family support for not only the youth themselves between ages 3 and 18, but also their families. So twice a month on the first and third Saturdays, the youth and their parents, their caregivers, and loving family members come to a site that we've been using for several years, and they all meet simultaneously in their own separate groups, and then we all get together afterwards and just go nuts.
Oh, wow. How exciting. Yeah. It sounds like a party.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a party. It's a little bit of a rally. It's a little bit of, I don't know, just awesomeness. It's just mm-hmm. a little bit of awesomeness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oliver and Sam, are either of you involved in any of the kind of satellite type groups that support trans youth here in Portland, like SMRC or The Living Room or GSAs?
I've participated in a GSA at my middle school, but nothing beyond that.
And how's that experience for you, participating in your GSA when you're in middle school?
It was really nice because this was before I was out to my parents, and so I was able to use my preferred name, which is Oliver, and the right pronouns. And the play was going on, so it was a very small group at first, but I know that the teacher who I'm going to have working with one of my teachers a lot in the next 4 years is gay herself. So it was nice that we had someone who understood what it was like not to be conforming to what's normal in society and to kind of have that adult perspective, even if we weren't always talking about LGBT stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, Sam, Oliver's teacher is out. Otherwise, we just had a Tom Hanks moment. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just for those who aren't familiar, GSA stands for Gay Straight Alliance, and it's an organization that exists nationwide, and here in Oregon, it's a way for gay and straight students to come together to support gay students and create a supportive and nurturing environment in which for gay students, faculty, and sometimes, but rarely, community members to come in and support those kids and the challenges that they might face in school.
Sam, did you want to talk about any other activities that you're engaged in? Are you engaged with any other queer or trans or LGBTQ groups for youth other than Transactive in your GSA?
No, not really, but I wish I was. I'm trying to find like more places to go, I guess.
Mm-hmm. What types of things are you hoping that those places offer for you? What type of activities or services or engagements are you looking for?
I just want like some place to go where I can talk about how I'm feeling about like my gender identity and stuff and not feel judged.
Yeah. Hopefully you don't feel that way with
Oliver, of course.
Hey, so can I just jump in and ask y'all a question? So one of the things that we talked about kind of sharing with people and letting people in on, and I think this is something that I know that I've talked to you both about in groups and stuff, is this is something that actually crosses generations. I know that when I was your age, I kept hearing this stuff about it's a phase, you'll grow out of it. By the way, for people that don't know, I'm trans. I guess I didn't include that in my introduction. And it was something that was happening a long time ago, and this is still stuff that we're hearing from people on the radio and in the media and things like that. So I know you both said that you wanted to kind of address what you feel like when you hear that, and I guess, how do you know it's not a phase? Who wants to go first? Sam?
Sure. I knew, like, from the beginning it wasn't a phase, because my mother told me, like, from the time I could talk, I would say, like, I feel like a boy and stuff like that. And so it was like that age, it's like something you kind of know.
That's like the best answer I've ever heard anybody give. It's my answer. I just know.
Right? Yeah.
Oliver?
I mean, like, there was a lot going into it, and I always knew that, you know, something was different, and everyone says that, but it's kind of what a lot of people go through, is that, like, something was off, and you can't really put a finger on it for the longest time, because there isn't talk about stuff like that, and there isn't, especially at that age, like, you don't hear the word trans or gay or anything, and so, because you're too young or whatever, and so it's really weird to then, like, now looking back and being like, oh, I remember that, and there's, like, all these little things, and it's, you know, after, like, I sat on it for a week, and I just kind of, like, asked myself questions and tried to think through it on my own, and then I came out, and it just kind of, like, kept going, so I guess I knew it wasn't a phase from that.
I mean, one of the big challenges is that, you know, the role of empathy in understanding what our kids are experiencing, or understanding what each other is experiencing, is so very important. And so if you had come out and said, you know, Mom, Dad, I've decided that I want to be a ballet dancer, they would know, oh, well, let's go talk to somebody about ballet and get you engaged in that, or I want to join, you know, be an outdoors person or something like that. But when you come out and say, I'm not experiencing my gender in the way you all experience us to, or expect us to, one, the people that, you know, parents, guardians, relatives, friends, even though they mean well, they don't have any way to connect with what that feels like. And there is no 1-800, you've got a trans kid. You know, I mean, Transactive sort of tries to be that, but there really isn't a 1-800, you've got a trans kid, call now. You know, we'll give you a second trans kid for absolutely no additional charge. So, what, right? Yeah, you're nodding. Nodding doesn't work on radio.
Why can't we nod audibly?
Just nod.
So this is kind of phase two. I use the word phase. I didn't mean to. This is kind of part two of that question, and I know this is really hard to explain because I'm a few months older than both of you. And your parents, actually, and your parents. But,
A few, yeah.
Yeah, no, thanks, Oliver. If you're going to rip on me, you got to do it more into the mic so everybody knows.
Love you, Jen.
I love you too, Oliver. All right, behave yourself. we know it's not a phase, but here's the tough question. How do you know? And that is a really hard question. I hate asking you, but that's what everybody else wants to know. I mean, how do you know?
I mean, there's all those other things that, oh, it's not a phase, and those things that kids go through. And that, but then with gender, it's completely different because it's not interests or, like, you know, a small little thing. It's how you identify, and it changes a lot about you and your personality, and it becomes something that affects you day to day for kind of really the rest of your life. And so it's not just like a little phase. Maybe questioning is a phase, but being trans or being gay or being somehow different than the cultural standards isn't at all a phase, and you experience it completely differently than interests or actual phases.
What about you, Sam?
Honestly, I knew from, like, a while before I came out that this isn't something you just kind of go through, like, interest in music or something. It's something that really affects your life. And that's not really a phase. It's like something you can feel. It's, I don't know how to explain.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great answer.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
I think we have a question from Nicolette.
Oh, yeah. So I wanted to ask Sam and Oliver. I mean, I was a teenager not that long ago, just 10 to 15 years ago. And I feel like even then, Oh, you're giving me that look.
That's like twice as long as he's been alive.
Like a long time to them. It's relatively not very long ago.
No, I just thought you were a lot younger.
I get that a lot. I'm actually 27, but people think I'm still like 17, apparently. So I feel like even just a decade ago, the culture among our society was still very different back then. And I felt like I couldn't really come out as trans or even explore my gender, because back then, even in our GSA, like, being trans was not very well accepted. I didn't even know that non-binary was a thing until I was in my 20s. I mean, I knew that I was non-binary since I was a little kid. I just didn't know that there was a word for it or anyone else like me. I guess because it didn't seem very acceptable to explore my gender and explore other possibilities, I didn't come out until I was an adult. So I wanted to ask, do you feel like there's anything different in this generation or anything that encouraged you to come out at your age? Remember, nodding doesn't work.
For me personally, like, you hear about, like, those terrible stories, but I follow those people, those famous trans people, and it helped me realize, like, I am trans. Like, watching their journey, I was like, wow, I really want to be like them. Like, that sounds really nice personally. And it was, like, something that I wanted to be, I guess.
Now, I'm just going to follow up on that really quick, because I totally get what you're saying. But there are some people that will hear what you just said, that you wanted to be like them, and we'll try to suggest that, oh, well, you were influenced to be trans by somebody else who made being trans look cool, and that's the reason why you're trans. Would you want to sort of just explain that for the people out there that are looking to say, aha?
Like, hearing their stories about, like, starting testosterone and doing blockers and, like, stuff like that, I was like, that sounds really nice. Like, that, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm. And you wanted to do it because you had, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Did you want to do that because you were feeling anxiety about your body turning out to look like or be something that didn't match your sense of who you were? Or no?
I don't know. I mean, like, personally, I felt really uncomfortable with my body from, like, childhood. And I know I'm still a child, but, like, young childhood.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, this doesn't look right. This doesn't feel right. This isn't me. Uh-huh.
And, you know, in terms of, like, whenever we get into this conversation, I always like to flip it. And I like to say, how do you know that your gender that you've been ascribed from the time that you were a child is the gender that you're supposed to be? Mm-hmm. Because whatever your gender identity is completely valid, whether you're trans masculine, trans feminine, gender non-binary, and you have a right to explore that spectrum and decide what your gender is. It's not something that your parents or the government or religion has the right to tell you what it is. You have a right to choose that for yourself, and that's a freedom that everyone has in our culture now. But most trans kids know from the time they're very young, like all of us, we've shared our stories many times. We knew from the time we were very young that we were trans. I mean, I knew when I was like 5 years old.
Oliver, do you have any thoughts on that? Any part of what we just talked about?
It's funny because then, like, you use the word, like, choose, and it, how I see it, because a lot of people are like, oh, it's not a choice, and there's people like, oh, you're just choosing to be like that. But then what it really is you're choosing to accept yourself and to be happy and to let yourself be who you are. You're not choosing to be trans, you're choosing to allow yourself to be trans.
Great point.
Absolutely. Yeah. Awesome.
I like the way you word that.
Yeah. You're choosing to allow yourself to be how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Who you are.
This is Aiden. I had a. This is Aiden. Hello. I had a
comment and also a question. So my first comment is that it's inspiring and it gives me a lot of hope because, you know, we're talking about age. So when I started putting makeup on and I started, you know, trying to figure out who I was, and I'm still trying to figure out that out. I didn't have like the support that a lot of people now have from their family circles. Not that everybody does, but you know, and it's encouraging to see, you know, people so young like you, you know, speaking out, because back 30 years ago when I was a teenager, things weren't like this. Things are still very hard. But the question was, what advice do you have for our trans youth out there, the people that are listening?
Don't try to conform to the societal norms, because like I know that I tried to do that, and I went from like being a normal kid, like a tomboy, or however you want to word it, to being hyper feminine, and I forced myself to wear dresses and to get into makeup, and we wasted money on it, which was unwise, but that's another thing. And it made me really uncomfortable, and it made my existing depression and anxiety a lot worse, and it caused me to feel a lot worse day to day, and it kind of messed with my quality of life. And it took me a couple of years to get out of that and realize, oh wait, this isn't me. I don't have to be this. And so when I finally did, it was scary to get out of that, but it was really relieving.
Thank you.
And Sam.
I just want to say to like all the trans kids out there that you're doing amazing, and to like follow your heart and how you really feel, and to not I don't know how to like speak.
You're doing great, Sam. To follow your heart and how you really feel.
And just, like, be yourself. Don't let other people tell you that you have to wear makeup or you have to wear what society says is boys' or girls' clothes.
That's a great answer.
I think also I think one of the great things is to remind or give the youth support to know that if they keep looking for an outreached hand to help them, all of the outreached hands, not only in this room but at Transactive and other places, we're looking for their hand as well. We will find them. We will find them if they stay true and stay on their own individual course. We will find them.
Oliver, Sam, I have a question for you all. So what is that like with other trans kids? Like, do you talk to other trans kids and, you know, how is it for them?
I mean, that's also a weird thing because everyone experiences it so differently, and you hear the buzzwords that you're not trans enough, but there isn't such thing as that. And so there's like, I know other people on the trans masculine side of things that enjoy makeup or that enjoy doing feminine things and are afraid to. Or, like, I know that I'm afraid to indulge in anything that's remotely feminine because if I do, my identity might be questioned by other people. And I know, like, and it's nice to know other people that are going through a similar thing and hear such different stories. And, like, I have a friend who's non-binary, and they struggle a lot with a lot of different things, both around being trans and not. And it sucks that people have to go through that. And there's also the whole thing with the, oh, 73 genders or whatever. And it's just people want to express themselves, and then people try to invalidate those labels. And different people experience that in different amounts. And it depends on, like, where you are in the States or in another country and how you identify and who you're around.
What about you, Sam? Do you talk to other trans kids?
Yeah, I have, like, a lot of trans and non-binary friends. And, like, we talk about what we're going through to, like, so we can tell each other that it's going to be okay. And so we're kind of, like, our own therapy group, I guess you could say.
It's always been that way. Yeah.
So we're going to take, we're coming up on the half hour. You're listening to 90.7 KBOO. And this is the program Trans Positive, which focuses on transgender, gender non-binary, and gender fluid issues. And today we have on Oliver and Sam and Jen Burlton from Transactive. And we're also joined here by co-hosts Nicolette, Gwen, myself, Emma, and Aiden. There's Aiden. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back for the second half of the show. All right, and we are back. I think Jen has... Oh, first we're going to let Aiden introduce himself real quick, and then we're going to go to Jen.
Hello, everybody. This is Aiden Vargas. My pronouns are he or they, and I'm just happy to be back.
Welcome, Aiden.
So before we even go any further, Sam, I think... Or maybe it was Oliver that mentioned, I'm not sure, but you mentioned something about the 73 different gender identities that Facebook is now listing. And many of us are happy that there's that much variation, but there are a lot of people that make fun of it. So I don't want to go any further without assuming that everybody knows how you both particularly identify. So I identify as a woman of transgender experience. I mostly experience my gender in a relatively... binary way, but in a very liberal binary way. For example, I love contact sports, not traditionally female, but I do particularly love contact sports. So I just want to ask you all, so that everybody's not just assuming that you're sort of like vanilla trans people. Oliver, how do you sort of identify your own gender experience?
I'm just a trans guy, trans dude. I don't know. I mean, it's pretty simple for me, at least, that I'm just a guy, and there isn't a lot to it, so.
Well, there's a lot to that. Trust me, there's a lot to that. Sam?
I identify as, like, trans, but I also use them, they pronouns.
So maybe a little non-binary...
Yeah.
Ish in there. That's okay. That's okay. You're making your own special cocktail here, dude. Yeah.
So, Oliver, before we did the show, we sort of talked about what we could talk about. And I'm going to ask you a question. And if you don't feel comfortable answering it, that's totally cool. So, but I want to ask you, how did you come to know that you were trans? What was your personal experience?
It's kind of a long story, so I'll try to slightly shorten it without removing key details. But the default, something was different, and I always knew that. And I have a couple of specific memories of, like, one time when I was very young, I was riding in our apartment parking lot on my bike, and I got warm because I was wearing a long sleeve shirt. And so I asked my parents if I could take it off. And, like, I didn't think of anything of it. And, like, you know, you think of that as normally something that guys would do. And my parents let me, and it was totally cool. And, you know, nothing came of it. But then, like, just looking back, it's like, you know, it was just a little nonchalant thing. And there were other things like that. And my parents always say that I would, like, throw a fit if I had to wear a dress. And I hated the color pink and all these, like, little signs that when I came out, it kind of, like, it all became clear that, and because, you know, there are people who are tomboys or who are cis, but still identify with, still have interests or decisions that aren't very normal to society, and that's completely valid. And there are, like Jen said, some trans people who have interests that aren't really societally normal, and that's also valid. And so it was just a matter of when I heard that word and I was like, oh, what's this? And so I started looking into what transgender was and hearing other people's stories. And then the question randomly crossed my mind, wait, what if I'm transgender? And so that, and I remember specifically I was in a Skype call and I started panicking and I was like, oh no. But then I sat on it for a week in shame and fear, and I asked myself all different questions trying to figure out if I was or wasn't trans. And then I came to the conclusion that I am. And on February 22nd, I came out to my friend Jaden. If you're listening, hey, yeah.
Hey, Jaden.
And so that's kind of when I celebrate my birthday now, because that's really close to my actual birthday, so it won't mess with physical age or anything. And that's kind of Oliver's birthday rather than dead name's birthday. Mm-hmm. And so it just kind of fell together. And then I started coming out to friends slowly, and then eventually my parents.
Like Deadpool, there ought to be a trans superhero named Dead Name.
And yeah. For people who aren't familiar with the terminology, when someone transgender says dead name, they mean a name that they were referred to in the past that maybe was associated with a previous assigned gender. What about you, Sam? Can I ask you the same question?
What was the question?
The question was, how did you, like, what was your personal story of coming out to yourself, basically?
Well, before I came out, I was kind of, like, watching YouTube videos of, like, people coming out and, like, their stories. And I was like, well, maybe I want to do that. So I came out to a couple of my friends, and they were like, cool, that sounds just like you. It's because when I was a child, I didn't like the more feminine stuff. I wasn't into like the pink and the purple and the normal feminine sports. I was into more like hockey and football and soccer and all those stuffs. And then I loved walking around the house with my shirt off. It was so weird. It was like something I didn't think of it. Like, everyone in the house was obviously uncomfortable, but I was like, I like it. It's nice. And then when stuff actually started happening with my body, I was like, I don't like that. I don't want this. This is making me uncomfortable. And that's when I kind of knew, like, is that really normal? And so I looked up, like, my friends were like, talking about like the LGBTQ stuff, because a lot of my friends are like gay and trans and stuff like that. So I was like, well, what's trans? And so I looked it up and I was like, wow, that sounds just like me. And so that's when I knew something was obviously different.
Mm-hmm. So can we shift a little bit? And there's for trans youth, for a lot of trans people, but for trans youth, there are healthcare, medical care, treatment options available for those that want them. Want to be really clear that despite what some people insinuate, nobody like signs a kid up against their will for any type of medical intervention. There's no pushing or anything like that. We're not running, you know, little businesses out of basements somewhere. But if it's okay with you, I want to just ask a general question. I want to be real careful about this because I think your parents are okay with it, but I want to give you another chance to know that we're going to talk about pubertal suppression a little bit and cross-sex hormones. Y'all know what I mean by that. For the audience, cross-sex hormones are hormone treatment that provides the hormones that match the gender identity of the youth, as opposed to the hormones that go along with the biological makeup of their bodies from the way they were born. And pubertal suppression puts puberty changes on hold so that we can do a little bit more assessment and make sure that their bodies aren't changing in some of the ways that both Sam and Oliver described would have made them very uncomfortable and possibly worse. So we can either talk about pubertal suppression in general without saying whether you're on it or not. That's going to be your choice. So let's do that for just a second. So what, knowing that things like pubertal suppression are out there for trans youth of your age and younger, what do you think about that? Is that a good thing?
I think that it's a very good thing, and I'm personally on pubertal suppressants, Depo-Lupron for me, and the medications can differ, but it's normally in the Depo family. And it's good that youth are given these opportunities, and you see like you see doctors that are like, oh no, youth are too young to consent, talking about like a lot younger kids. But when if someone knows, they know, and they're, you know, sometimes it can be a fluke where it's like once or twice, oh, I want to be a boy, or oh, I want to be a girl. But then if it's consistent and if it keeps coming up and they're very unhappy, then you can't write it off as a phase because it's affecting their day-to-day life. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's an actual issue that they're going to face later. And if you can help them now, it'll be a lot better because then they won't have to go through the discomfort.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Sam?
What was the question?
We were just talking about...
Short naps are great, aren't they, Sam?
Yeah.
We were just talking about the pubic suppressants and... how do you feel about that? Is that a good thing that trans kids have access to that?
Personally, I think it's a good thing. I have not started pubertal suppressants, but I've been going to appointments that kind of discuss what will happen and what the changes will be. And I think it's a good thing just because it's helping kids realize who they are. And it's helping kids like transition.
And I think I'm sorry.
Oh, sure. I just would like to say also, just as a clarification for people who are listening in the audience who don't understand what we're talking about, as you know, lots of transgender, gender non-binary, gender fluid people take hormones. Different people take different kinds of hormones. adults do it. And kids who... identify as transgender and who have gotten lots of therapy and are seeing a doctor and going through a process that is, you know, has been sanctioned by the state of Oregon, have access to puberty suppressant blockers. And these delay the onset of puberty until an age of consent. And at an age of consent, then kids are able to, once they have reached an age of consent, if they want to take the hormones that are part of their gender identity that they identify with, then they're able to begin taking those hormones.
Actually, I want to please do slightly, yeah, please. Slightly correct that. Thank you. So pubertal suppression is definitely, first of all, as both Oliver and Sam spoke to, Sam. Correct me if I'm wrong, Sam, but what you're currently in the process of is kind of what we call pre-treatment assessment, right? And so you're going to see your physician, probably a pediatric endocrinologist, a specialist.
Yeah.
And what they're kind of doing is tracking to see where you are in the whole pubertal process and talking to you about what those changes might be and getting a sense about how you feel about having some of those changes or all of those changes. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
And not every youth chooses to go on pubertal suppression, and there's no pressure for you to do that. And then with Oliver, you went through that process and got all that same information and decided to proceed forward. I think the one thing that I would slightly correct and update is that most of the physicians and the specialist pediatric endocrinologists working in this field now no longer adhere to a specific age range.
Wow.
That youth have to wait to. There are youth that are being able to be on both pubertal suppression and cross-sex hormones, whether it's estrogen or testosterone, as young as age 12.
Oh, wow, that is so great.
And so it's really based on a doctor-patient assessment of where that youth is at. And there's no cookie cutter answer here. There isn't a specific dosage that anybody's given. It's all customized to each individual youth's physiology. Uh-huh. And this really prevents a lot of harm. I guess my follow-up question really quick was going to be, we know some of the really negative depression and anxiety things that can happen when you begin realizing that you're stuck, becoming stuck in a body that doesn't look the way that you experience yourself to be. I felt it.
We've all been through it.
I think we've all been through it, and that hasn't changed generationally. So just kind of quickly, pubertal suppression, you haven't started it yet. You may be thinking about it. For Oliver, pubertal suppression, what do you think how do you think it helped you? What might have happened if you hadn't had the option of pubertal suppression?
There's the obvious part of it helping with dysphoria, and it stopped my menstrual cycle, which testosterone would have done anyway, but it would have taken longer. And it was a lot of relief because that saves both money and time. And it also, with me changing in male locker rooms and using male restrooms this year, there wouldn't have been anywhere to dispense those products. And I wouldn't have been able to go to school in boxers and be comfortable in that way. And there was a little bit of controversy at the school with me being in the locker rooms. And so that would have worsened it. And it would have, I was planning on not coming out until high school to my parents, but then at some point I couldn't bear it. And that's when I came out, and it helped a lot. And it was one of those things. And so when I got the chance to start the hormone blockers, I jumped on it, even though it was a mixed experience.
I'd like to ask another question. Since we were talking about school, I wanted to just touch on the topic of school for just a minute. Because like when I transitioned, I was able to do it like after I'd gone to school, and I didn't, like, there was no one around me except for people that I chose to support me. But you're in school, and so I'm wondering, how is it for you coming out? Do people in your schools know that you're trans, and how does that work for you? Are you respected, or do you have problems? Are you supported?
My school is pretty amazing, I'm not gonna lie. Some of the sixth graders didn't know that I was actually trans. I thought I was just a boy, which honestly felt amazing. Yeah. But the going to the bathroom situation is still kind of hard, because I'm not fully comfortable going in the men's bathroom, just because, like, I know there are still a few kids who don't like me being trans. And so I have a fear of, like, running into them in the bathroom and something happening. But I try and go to GSA, which is, like, really comforting to know that my school has that, because it shows that there's people that are willing to accept me. And
yeah, that's a good that's a great answer.
And that's a wrap there.
What about you?
For me, it was a very mixed bag. All of the staff were very, very good about it. And I came out to all my teachers, and they were accepting and, you know, made sure that I was comfortable in whatever ways they could. And then before the school year started, we had a meeting with the principal and my counselor, and I think the vice principal as well, to see, like, how we were going to handle it and what the bathroom situation was going to be, and to make sure that before school started, everything was sorted out so that it wouldn't be a thing that we had to sort out during the year, and to make sure that everything was taken care of. And they were very accommodating and kind and realistic with everything, and very transparent about, oh, this can happen now, or, oh, no, it wouldn't be realistic for it. And then the student body, however, I had a lot of friends and people who were very supportive or, like, confused, but then, like, were able to ask questions and shed that confusion. But I'm openly trans. Everyone kind of knew, and rumors spread like wildfire. So, you know, everyone kind of knew, and I got a lot of questions, but I didn't mind, and I answered anything, because there's a lot of poorly worded things, but it's the means between, are they being curious or are they being trying to be blatantly rude? And it's often really, really, you can tell really easily. And I had a couple problems with people, a couple incidents, but nothing physical, nothing that bad. And it was kind of nice in a way because it put into perspective who I would actually want to be around. Like, you could tell who was a good person and who wasn't by, were they talking about me? Were they bringing it to my face? Like, you know, and I don't care that people were saying stuff behind my back because I knew that they were being cowards by not saying anything to my face. And so it was nice to know who I could actually hang out with.
That reminds me of a comment from one of our volunteers here. In the words of Teresa Mitchell, form a family around you. That's how you survive.
So we're going to go to our final break. You are listening to 90.7 KBOO, and we are talking with trans youth tonight on Trans Positive. We'll be back for the last 10 minutes of our show and some wrap-up questions. Man, I'm out in Texas. Man, I'm out in A-Town. Then I'm up in Chi-Town. Or Miami shutting down. It's that New Orleans. It's L.A. or the Bay. It's New York, Philly. And the whole DMV. I'm a Detroit player. Man, it's North-South Cap. Ohio, Pittsburgh. Got St. Louis on deck. It's Delaware, Connecticut. It's New Jersey. Got hella It's Queens, Brooklyn. And yeah, they rallying. Bronx, Harlem, and Staten. All right, and we're back. We're going to go to Jen. Jen has a couple of wrap-up questions for Oliver and Sam.
Thank you. So you're in a room with several trans feminine women on the transgender side of the awesome spectrum that would be more than happy to regale everybody for hours talking about our experiences as trans women. But I'm really interested in you guys in your groups have a lot of friends and peers that are trans girls. Maybe they're not trans, maybe they're non-binary but leaning heavily feminine or those things. So I want to ask you, how do you think the experience of being a trans girl is different from being a trans guy? And do you think they have faced challenges that you don't face? And vice versa. Sam, why don't you go first? Oliver, why don't you go first?
I'd be happy to. I mean, it's obviously going to be very different, and the dysphoria and, you know, everything is going to be different, and they do face different challenges with one of the complaints that I've heard a lot is that trans women don't get to go through menstrual cycles and that sort of thing, which is, everyone takes that part of it differently, but there are some people happy about it, some people unhappy about it, and I mean, a lot of trans masculine people are very happy to be able to stop that, and so it's really different in that sense, and the oppression of trans people is different from trans men and trans women, and being able to be read not being misgendered in public is also very different, because sometimes with trans men it's easier to be read as male than with trans women in what I've seen, and correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that's true. Well, in your experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because there's a lot more that goes into it, and testosterone works wonders that estrogen can't after, because testosterone has some irreversible changes, and so if one of us was to start taking testosterone and then stop, some things would change, some things wouldn't. And with estrogen, you can't just erase all that testosterone had done if you had gone through a male puberty before entering a female puberty.
Mm-hmm. We're all going, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What about you, yeah. Sam? Are you friends with any like trans girls, and what do they talk about?
I'm not friends with any that I know of.
That's cool.
But I know that it's for sure different. Like, the puberty is definitely different. But
I You're doing great, Sam. You've had great answers this whole show. Yeah. So, yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's just easier in our culture in some respects. So there's no like absolutes here. A situation isn't absolutely true for everybody, but it can be easier to, because men are in some ways valued more than women and girls are. So sometimes people see sort of aspiring to things that they identify as more masculine as being more worthwhile than aspiring to things that are feminine. Is that kind of what you're, you agree with that sort of?
So we've got about 3 minutes left. So if there are any wrap-up questions or comments that we'd like to get to, this is the time.
Here's my question for one for each one of you. What do you want to shout out? This is your opportunity. What have you been wanting to like raw about or?
I want to have time to tell them a little bit about Transactive, so let's go, guys.
Let's do that. Yeah, let's do it.
GC2B binders and the fact that you can actually wash them and that they're safe to bind in and comfortable and it's worth the price.
Binders in general, not any particular maker of binders.
Binders are something that trans men use sometimes.
And boys.
Yeah, and boys.
Sam?
What's your bra? Shout out.
You want to just say hi to some friends? Hey, I'm on the radio!
Or your parents. Or your
They're
sister.
Out there listening.
Out there listening. Hi.
Great. And so, Jen, with the last 2 minutes, can you tell us a little bit about Transactive? How can people find out more about Transactive, and how can they get in touch and support it?
Well, thank you so much, first of all. And on behalf of the guys, thank you so much. I think it's so important that their voices are heard because they're the voices of the future. Mm-hmm. So Transactive, if you want to get in touch with Transactive, if you have a kiddo who's gender diverse, gender nonconforming, you're not sure what's going on with them, they may not be sure what's going on with them, but something is going on with them that doesn't fall into cultural stereotypical expectations, I want you to contact Transactive Gender Center. You can reach us on the web at transactivegendercenter.org. You can reach us on the phone at 503-252-3000. And you can reach us by email at info@transactiveonline.org. The first and third Saturday of every month, we have support groups for all ages. That includes kids from age 4 up through age 18, and they're broken out into different groups. If you want to come to the Vanguard group or the Compass group, which are the groups that both Sam and Oliver are in, and you want to meet these awesome guys in person, get their autographs now that they're media moguls. please do, and you can get all that information at our website, and please know that you're not alone, and there is help out there, and there's a community out there that loves you.
Great. Thank you so much. Nice. Thanks so much for being on Transpositive. I would just like to say in the last 30 seconds, please join us here at KBOO on Saturday, August 11th. We're going to be celebrating KBOO's 50th anniversary with the KBOO Block Party from 12 noon to 10 p.m. And we're going to be especially honoring Queer Boo. Our queer programmers will be on from 4:30 until 5 o'clock. We'll be sharing stories from our experiences as queer programmers, and we'll be talking about what's been going on down here at KBOO. And then also, please join us on Friday, August 31st from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. We're going to be having an open house here at KBOO for the queer community. So if you're queer, if you're trans, if you're gender non-binary, gay, lesbian, please come on down. We're going to be honoring 50 years of support for the queer community here at KBOO from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. We'll be having snacks and we'll be doing programming specifically for that community. That's Friday, August 31st from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. I'm Emma. I use she and her pronouns.
I'm Gwen. Thank you all for coming. Jen, Sam, Oliver.
Oh, I'm Nicolette. I use A&M pronouns. Thank you so much, everyone. This has been great.
I'm Aiden. And to all our youth out there, remember, don't just think outside the box. get rid of it. You don't need it.
Thank you, and we'll see you next month.
You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Next up, we have Calculated Conversations with David and Khan.
KBOO hosts a monthly film series called KBOO at the Clinton, hosted by the Clinton Street Theater. This month, we'll screen the film Undocumented on Thursday, August 9th at 7 p.m. Undocumented is a documentary about a 13-year-old who travels from Colombia to join his parents in America and his life becoming a surgeon. It is a story of struggle, loss, danger, courage, and love. Again, that's a film screening of Undocumented, Thursday, August 9th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hi, this is John Shuck. On the next Beloved Community, I welcome Cynthia McKinney, former Congresswoman and candidate for president. She speaks candidly about 9/11, the deep state, COINTELPRO, the Russians, the media, Israel, and more. Beloved Community, August 10th, Friday, 9 a.m.